The Cappuccino Podcast brought to you in association with Tactical Solutions. For all your tactical solutions, check them out at www.tactical.co.nz.
It's that time again, so grab yourself a cup of joe
and get ready for the Cappuccino with Constable Brian.
So my guest today for the Cappuccino, last one for 2022, the angel on the Cappuccino Christmas tree and frequent guest, bestie, Wilhelmina Shrimpton.
Bestie!
There you go, welcome.
Oh, bless.
Right.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Speed round for Christmas.
Speed round.
Here we go.
I promise I'm trying to be speedy. This is one word answers, right?
No, this is any, as many as you want.
Oh, okay, so I just have
to do it fast. Yeah. Yep. No, you're good. Christmas, stressful or not?
A bit of both.
Okay.
I know that doesn't answer the question. Well, it depends on the type of Christmas.
This podcast.
If you're organising it, yes.
Yeah.
If you're not, no.
Okay, cool. Right. What's the one thing you look forward to the most about Christmas?
Spending time with family and the delicious food.
Yeah, good week.
Turkey roll.
Turkey roll.
I love a turkey roll.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
how I roll.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, as long as the turkey doesn't. Right, here we go. Who would make the best Santa if you had to cast Santa in a movie?
Oh. Lloyd. I'm just joking.
Lloyd Bird, that's
I just
cool.
think he'd be so jolly.
All right, all good. What's the one song? I'm just going to leave it at that. He can. Lloyd's going to hear this and go, what the?
I'll appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. What's the one song that gets you up at a Christmas party always to dance to?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is probably Groove Armada, Super Stylin', and they actually played last weekend, and I couldn't go because I had stitches in the back of my leg, so I didn't think that was very sensible, but Groove Armada, Super Stylin', I always used to put it on the day after I finished my last exams at university in high school.
Which is just like last week anyway, wasn't it? Yeah, so yeah.
I wish. So it's kind of my grooving celebration song.
Nice, good week. What's the one song you always sit down for at a Christmas party?
Is it controversial? Toto Africa or something like that, you know, like the slow old school bangers,
yeah, yeah,
you know.
So tragically, I'm going to say I've seen a couple of the members of Toto live in concert. That is probably one of the best songs I've ever heard live in concert. Then they had everybody singing. They had some guy called Ringo Starr playing on the drums.
I'm more of an electronic dance.
Yeah, yeah,
upbeat,
yeah, yeah. Flashing lights. Yeah.
Flashing lights. All good.
There you go. All right. Okay. So let's kick it off with a. Annual review of the year, but a few sort of Christmassy type questions as well. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
No, it's just set at Christmas time.
See, I'm going to have to completely disagree with you here. I had this argument with my wife last night. Not only is it set at Christmas time, there's also a few Christmas hints in it as well. So Bruce Willis's wife's name is Holly. During the movie, right? It also has a man sort of coming off the roof of a building as well.
Like Santa?
Correct. Yeah,
is there a chimney involved?
No, but hey, look, it's all good. Right, what's the best surprise you've had in 2022?
Best surprise I've had? I think it's getting my confidence back.
Yep.
I thought it had disappeared, and getting it back in this wonderful new role at Today FM has been a big surprise for me because I haven't felt this good in a while.
Wells is back with a mojo. Good work. What is the best Christmas song of all time? Last year you said anything to do with the velvety tones of Bing Crosby, despite hating on Toto, it's Africa.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But Bing Crosby by the Christmas tree is different to Bing Crosby on
saying.
A dance floor.
Yeah,
at Christmas
just saying.
Party.
Just saying.
I'll have to draw inspiration from one of my mum's favourites and Little Drummer Boy. That was always her favourite.
There you go, yeah. Okay, cool. Should we have next year a Mariah and Michael Bublé free Christmas?
Absolutely not.
Whew, okay,
no way.
You're going to have to agree to disagree.
They started defrosting about a month ago.
Yeah, exactly.
This is their one time to shine. It's like how Frankie Stevens always comes out every year at Christmas in the park. It's just like Michael Bublé and Mariah. You've got to have them.
They're cryogenically frozen.
It's not Christmas without them.
Yeah, okay, right. So here's the one for you. When do you stop exercising at Christmas and when do you start exercising back in the new year?
it's changed every year for me.
Yeah.
A couple of, and I know that I'll probably, like, people will probably be like, oh, loser, but I did a couple of workouts, well, just one workout on Christmas morning for the past couple of Christmases. I don't know, for me, it's about a mental health thing.
Yep.
And I haven't been able to go to the gym the past week because I've had those stitches in the back of my leg, and I've really gone a bit batty, and I really rely on it to kind of just give me a sense of schedule. And it just makes me feel good. So I know people will be like, loser, why are you exercising on Christmas morning?
So,
but some Christmas mornings they don't.
Right.
So
mental note, Mr. Shrimpton, if you're listening, Wilhelmina would like a set of push-ups for Christmas, not a present or anything else.
No, definitely jewellery underneath the
box, yeah, yeah. So. How much fun are you having at your new job at Today FM? Because nominated for the New Zealand Podcast Awards. I saw that. Yeah, yeah. Envious. Can't be there, obviously, when you've got an audience of four like I have, but that's all good. But, yeah, I mean, you're doing First Light and for replacing Tova sometimes. You're doing, obviously, your dance-offs with Lloyd in the afternoon. Yeah, and I'm just going to throw this out there, just so that we can start the momentum here. I know that Dancing with the Stars is not coming back next year. I don't know if it is or if it isn't, but if it is, what about Lloyd Bird and Wilhelmina Shrimpton as a dance pair? Just throwing it out there. You know,
that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Interpretive
ridiculous,
dance. Ridiculous, kooky.
Dance. Yeah, 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 yeah. Break dancing with plenty of the break.
We are a huge vibe.
Yeah. In your own world. Yeah. So how's that? Has it been lots of fun? You're obviously having lots of fun there. And,
I love it. It's such a wonderful, supportive environment. I have the best teammates. I get to host shows and, you know, take ministers to task or have fun interviews. And I also get to do these incredible investigative documentaries in the podcast, which has now become a video documentary. And
first
one was on Ram Raiders, and I was really, really proud of that. And I've got another one coming out very soon. And I'm just so happy, and like you said before, I found my mojo again. So.
And possibly had the best podcast title for clickbait I've ever seen in my entire life. Wilhelmina Shrimpton, the core selling sex.
Oh yes, yeah. I know, that was
yeah, I was like, hang on, what? Yeah.
That'll get you.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Changing the topic completely. The best movie of the year for you has been what?
Best movie of the year. Can I just say the one that I've most recently seen, because I can't I saw Black Panther the other day.
Okay, yep.
I don't know if I'd say it was the best movie of the year, but it was pretty good.
Okay.
That's the first one that comes to mind.
I'm gonna go with Elvis, because Austin Butler was amazing.
I have to agree with you there.
If he doesn't win an Oscar, there's something wrong with that.
He was incredible. He just became Elvis. The mannerisms, the moves, scary. The voice. I think I have to agree with you on that one.
And the Batman, because I'm a comic book fan, but when they cast Robert Pattinson, I went, oh my God, this is going to suck. But it actually was really, really good. You didn't like it, did you?
No, I did. But in all fairness, you barely saw Robert Pattinson's face.
Yeah, well, exactly.
The entire
time.
So there were moments in the scenes you'd get the shock. You'd be like, oh, that's right. It's Arpad.
That's right.
Should we stop multiple credits at the end of the Marvel Universe movies? For me, it's a big yes.
Oh, 100% agree. Every time I go to the movies with my husband, he makes me watch right till the end. It drives me insane. It's 5 minutes of my life I'm never going to get back.
Correct.
And there's always two teasers, or he says there's two teasers, and a couple of times there's only been one midway through, and then you get to the end and it just says Spider-Man or the Hulk or whatever returns, and I look at him with my evil eye and go, that again, that's five minutes of my life I will never get back.
The Hulk may return, but Wilhelmina will not. Do it like Deadpool did. Stick your head around the corner. There's nothing here. Go home. See you later. Binge watch. What's been your favourite binge watch of 2022?
Euphoria. And which is Neon, which is on, I think it's an HBO.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Neon series. It's kind of at the modern day Skins, which was a series about 10 or 15 years ago that I loved. That was awesome to binge watch. And then I probably isn't binge watching, but I'm obsessed with it, The White Lotus, which they're actually drip feeding episode by episode every Monday at the moment. And I'm just, I that series is so good. The actors are phenomenal. The storylines are great. I cannot wait for next week's episode.
Boom. For me, it's got to be Ted Lasso. Just amazing. Even if you don't like football, soccer, whatever you want to call it. Just a really, really good TV show. And I've got to say, it's one of those shows that you watch and you go, why don't we have more TV programs like this? Because it's incredible. Okay, not binge watching, but what's been the series of the year that has made you sort of go, huh, that was way better than I thought it was going to be, or something that's kind of surprised you out of the gate?
Again, probably The White Lotus. Normally second seasons are never as good as first seasons, and I actually think that the second season may even be slightly better than the first. I mean, they're both so good. But yeah, that definitely surprised me.
For me, it's got to be Star Trek, Brave New Worlds. Really, really good. I did not expect it to be that good. I'm a bit of a Star Trek fan, but it's really good. I've heard a couple of people say, wow, that's like probably the best out of all of them, so that's all good. What's been the TV program that you've watched, a sequel, a series 2, a 3, or a 4, where you've gone, yeah, perhaps it's time for them to finish now?
Oh, series 2, series 3. You know, there are a lot of series just completely overdo it. Not that I'm watching it, but I can't believe that Grey's Anatomy is still going. It's about 17 series now, 19 series now. I think one that wasn't a sequel, that one that I was expecting to be really good, was The Watcher on Netflix. It has Naomi Watts?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the blonde one who was in King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
It looked really good. The shorts made it look phenomenal. And oh my goodness,
Tank.
The twist at the end was not very good.
Yeah. For me, it's got to be Stranger Things.
Oh.
We're still doing it. It's getting kind of creepy now because we've got kids who are in their mid-20s playing teenagers.
Mm.
And without ruining it too much, we got to the last episode. We all sat there and went, oh my God, this looks like Spaceballs, The Quest for More Money. Because there's another season coming soon. So that's a big no for me.
And on that note, Riverdale is another one, which is a Netflix series, which it started off as just, you know, like a murder mystery in a high school, right?
Yep.
And then six seasons down, it's about witchcraft and wizardry, and it's just like they're trying to milk it for all it's worth because it did so well in the first couple of seasons.
Hey, look.
And the storylines are just out the gate.
Yep.
And it's just too far gone now.
Why wouldn't you? It'll probably come back as a reality TV show.
Probably.
What's been the best fiction book of the year?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. It's a Jacqueline Bublitz one, Before You Knew Her Name. It's again kind of a murder mystery, Me Too kind of storyline. Good twist, really beautifully written. I really, really enjoyed it.
Good on you as well, because last year you went, I don't read too many fiction books, so.
That was my one of my New Year's resolutions.
Boom, there you go. There you go. Best for me, it's got to be Red Mist by Ant Middleton. Mallory, his character, is really, really good. If you're looking for a good action hero book that isn't Jack Reacher, because let's be honest, Jack Reacher should have been retired a few years ago. It's like a Christmas tradition now. New Jack Reacher book.
So that's another series that
Well, look, when the author's co-writing a book with his brother, then it's kind of generally time for it to go, I guess. What's been your best non-fiction book in 2022?
It's one that I've just finished, and it's actually written by, it's an autobiography by Emily Ratajkowski. So she's a model / actress. She was, for people who don't know who she was one of the girls in the Blurred Lines video with Robin Thicke.
Wow.
Yeah. And seeing her and seeing her career, I did not expect this from her. She's written this entirely herself. It's a collection of essays throughout her life. It's called My Body, and it's sort of about her experience in terms of how she's perceived and stereotyped based on what she looks like. And it's just beautifully written, lots of relatable content. I was really, really blown away, and now I look at her in a completely different way. And I think it's a really important read for a lot of women.
That's interesting, because I saw a television interview with the girls that were the backup singers / musicians for Robert Palmer's Addicted to Love video. You remember that one?
Mm.
And they were very much the same. It's like, we took it on as a modelling job, it became bigger than Ben-Hur.
Mm.
Interesting times. For me, go on.
And it plays into the whole, and I wrote an opinion piece on this earlier this year, it was don't judge a book by its cover, and don't judge a woman by her dress. And I feel like there are a lot of people who misconstrue what someone could be like, or they strip back their authority, or they take away their seriousness based on how they dress or what they look like. And I think it's a really important message, and it really plays into that, and we shouldn't do that.
Not wrong. So here's your quote of the year from Ted Lasso / Walt Whitman, the famous American poet: be curious, not judgmental.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, it's got to be Fanboy, The Wall. again by Ant Middleton. Really good book at getting rid of the mental block that you sometimes get with exercise or your mental processes or anything else. Who's the next James Bond? Because it's got to be this time last year, Daniel Craig was out in the very last James Bond. Still the best James Bond for me.
Yeah.
But who's the next one in your opinion?
I can't get past Daniel Craig.
Well, you're going to have to because he's not coming back.
I just can't see an era without Daniel Craig. Yeah. He's just, he's unexpectedly great, you know?
Yeah.
Robert Pattinson? No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. He won't be able to wear the bat mask.
He's too busy being Batman.
Yeah.
I know there was talk about a female James Bond.
Yeah.
Which
I don't buy.
I don't buy it either.
I'm like, if you want a female James Bond, make a new character. There's plenty of scope there.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, it's got to be Tom Hardy, I think.
He's the guy who's got the scar through the eyebrow. Am I thinking?
He is Bane and Batman, the Jewish leader in Peaky Blinders, if you watch Peaky Blinders.
I think, do you know what? When you said to me, who do you think should be the next James Bond? Oh, yes! It is him, and I couldn't remember what his name
there you
was.
Go. Boom.
And his face popped into my mind.
So
yeah, I like him. He's very sexy.
Well, yeah, maybe. Right. Anyway. Probably not, but they look. Each to their own. Yeah. Your biggest regret for 2022, mine might just have been that last comment, but carry on. Yeah.
My biggest regret for 2022. You know what? I don't think I have any regrets.
Boom. Nice, good work.
I've had a really great year.
And I'm much the same. I don't do regrets anyway. Plod on forward. I'm too stupid to quit.
No regrets. No regrets.
Yeah. What's been your biggest high five moment for 2022? And that can be anything that you went fist pump at, or nailed it, or done this. That's amazing.
There's been quite a few this year. Lots of highlights. You know, building a station from the ground up and being part of that team is it. And that obviously stretches across the whole year and being part of this wonderful project that we call Today FM.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the main standout for me has to be my first, and I know I had the podcast series, The Core, and that was just the podcast. And then for season two, the first episode, we decided from now on to do it as a video documentary. And I did this 30-minute documentary on Ram Raiders. And I interviewed two Ram Raiders, one a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old. And they really opened up to me and trusted me with their story and explained to me what led them to those moments to do Ram Raids. And it was a real privilege to tell that story. And as you know, after 13 years as a journalist, it's probably the proudest I've ever been of a story, which is massive.
It is, because let's be honest, most journalists, you do a story and then 3 weeks later it's like, and it's also the podcast. I found it, I'm gonna be honest, I sat there and found it a little bit confronting. There were lots of and bitings of lips and everything else, but it's always good to hear the other side of the story.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I think we've heard a lot from talking heads and a lot from spokespeople, and I think no one had really given these kids the airtime to share their point of view.
Yep.
And whether you agree with it or not, I think it was really important, and I think it did change a lot of people's opinions.
Yep.
Really, really proud of it, which is a lot, because I've done a lot of stories in my time.
Nice.
So more of those to come.
For me, I'm going to have to say, I think I would probably go the Black Ferns victory.
Nice.
Just the way that it's lit this country up for women's rugby. I used to coach women's rugby. I used to coach a girls college team for about 5 or 6 years at Otahu. And I know a number of the old Black Ferns. Apologies, Anna and Rochelle. And it's just been really nice to see them actually be recognised. Having known some of the girls that went over in the 90s and the early 2000s, where they were fundraising to go to World Cups and buying T-shirts for family members that had Black Ferns on them from their own money.
Oh, wow.
So it's been quite incredible to watch them.
I hope that this flips the sporting world on its head and brings in more equality, because for so long and for way too long, there's been so much inequality between men's and women's, and not just men's and women's, but between rugby and all other sports.
Yep.
Because I feel like the only thing that's funded really is New Zealand cricket and New Zealand rugby.
Yep.
And we have such a long way to go, and I really hope that this changes opinion, and New Zealand rugby really needs to be paying attention.
So you need to go back one and listen to the podcast that's going to come out this Friday with Anna Richards, who's known as the greatest of all time, Black Fern. Where her and I sit down and go, women's rugby, where's it going to next? Anyway, there's the sales pitch. Overseas trip planned for 2022?
Would love to go to the States.
Which state of the States?
Which state of the States?
Yeah.
The good state. No.
Yeah, the good state.
The good state. So, yeah. So we really want to plan maybe a 3-week trip to, I'd love to go to LA, San Fran, Vegas, over to New York, where one of my best friends lives. She has been living in New York for about 8 years. So I'll get the full New Yorker experience.
You will, yep.
And we're hoping to do that maybe middle of the year. It'd be great to be there for 4th of July.
Cool. Yep. I was going to, yeah.
We'll see how we go.
It'll be good fun. Yeah, good fun. Right. Give me a phone call. I'll give you a couple of Vegas tips as well. For me, and most of my Canadian buddies know this, February, March, I'm up to Canada on my police fellowship. Sounds like lots of fun. It is going to be lots of fun. When I get to Calgary, the average temperature is going to be around about minus 25 to minus 37. Mm. That'll be awesome. What's been the biggest fail this year, you think, out of everybody that's you've seen, watched, observed? What's been the big moment where you've gone, oh, that's just untidy?
That's just untidy.
Yeah.
What a diplomatic way to put it. You're very good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You should get into politics. No,
yeah. Oh, no, I shouldn't. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The biggest fail.
I'll give you mine while you're thinking.
Yeah, okay.
It's FIFA and the Soccer World Cup.
Yeah.
Just some of the rhetoric, the FIFA president standing up and saying that he's all these wonderful people and quite clearly he isn't, and nobody being able to read that room and actually say, dude, you need to stop, because this is not what it's about. So for me, that's the biggest fail I've seen this year in media. Although I'd like to comment on all the people that, when I had my picture taken with a rainbow car on LinkedIn, that decided they were going to sprout some hate at me. Thanks very much for all of your wonderful comments. It was great though, because since that's happened, I've done probably about 5 or 6 diversity conferences as a speaker and spoken to people about that and how you actually combat some of that. So that was a good fail, because they spoke out about it, clearly made themselves look small-minded, and yeah, it's been a good thing for me. So
I can't believe that in this day and age that's still the response from some people.
Oh, yeah,
it just grinds my gears so much.
Yeah.
Biggest fail, I think, probably the biggest fail would probably be the war in Ukraine.
Oh, yeah,
It's still raging.
Yeah.
It's hideous. The atrocities that are unfolding are unbelievable. And I also think that we really dropped the ball, or our government really dropped the ball in not responding and speaking out about it sooner than what they did. There have obviously been offers of support in dribs and drabs, but I just think that our response has been relatively weak and we could have done so much more.
Boom. Your 3 best purchases for 2022.
Oh my gosh, been so many.
Fashion. Tech and shoes.
Okay. Well, we moved house earlier this year, which was really exciting, and we had some really old furniture that we donated. And we decked our house out from top to toe, which was really, really exciting. So all of our furniture, which I know kind of encompasses a lot of things, but it was really exciting.
Nice.
Being able to go into a shop and going, oh, that couch will look great there and that dining table.
Nice.
I got a new phone, which has really changed the game with,
that's not
you
a
know.
Phone, that's almost like a mobile satellite the size of that thing.
I know, I love a big phone.
Go on.
It's almost like an iPad. And I know this sounds really, really lame, but this has changed my kitchen and cooking game. So I went into Kmart one day, and I'd seen one of my friend's parents using this at a batch a couple of years ago, and I was like, wow, that just really changes the onion dicing game, the garlic dicing game, just any kind of dicing game. So it's this little container that's got blades in it and a little pulley string.
Yeah, another
and you
one.
Put chunks of vegetables in it and you pull the string out and 2 pulls and the whole thing is diced. It cost me $8.99 and my God, it has changed the game.
I'm not going to say anything about simple things, simple wines. I'm just going to let it go there. That's all good.
Oh, wait till you buy one. It'll change your life.
I've got one.
Have you?
I've got one, yeah.
Aren't they great?
Yeah. I don't know if it gets frequent use, but I think it's more sort of with my son, we basically have a look at it and see how it works and maybe throw a piece of lettuce in there every now and then and where he goes and off he goes to feed some snails
just
in the
so
garden.
Good. And you're not crying because you're not dicing the onions yourself.
I don't cry anyway, not when I cut onions.
Tears before dinner time.
No, I can, yeah. And I've always been amazed, I'm just going to throw it out there, with those people that go to those hypnosis shows and eat a raw onion like it's something special. I've been able to do that ever
really?
Since. Yeah, anyway.
Wait, next time we do a recording, you need to bring an onion.
Yeah, it's
so
all
I need
good.
To witness this live.
Yeah, no, that's easy. I can do that for you. No problems. For me, let's think fashion. I'm going to throw this out there. It was a great, great thing to be able to buy a Moana Pacifica rugby jersey. Having been involved with Pacifica communities, I know what a great thing it is that Moana Pacifica are here. I'm proudly a member of Moana Pacifica. So it was a great moment to be able to buy a jersey of a team that's a new Super Rugby team, and knowing some people at that sort of franchise, how it's bigger than rugby for that community, for all people. Tech, it's got to be my Apple Watch. Love it to absolute bits. What's
I can
the,
see it right here.
Yeah.
Showing
yeah.
it off.
Yeah. Best news story of 2022 was what?
Do you mean best news story as in positive or just most significant?
You call it. You're the journalist.
I'm going to go with most significant news story because a lot of news stories, unfortunately, are not in a positive light, but they are significant moments in history.
Yep.
So I think the most significant news story of 2022 would have to be the Queen's passing.
Yep.
That was a historical moment, historical coverage. It was a moment that sort of brought so many nations together in mourning, and it was amazing to see the show of people, not only in the UK, but in New Zealand, just across the entire world. It was, And I mean, that coverage lasted for weeks. And it was just amazing. I did a 3-hour special the day afterwards, and I'd actually been down in Christchurch emceeing something. I wasn't at work the day that it happened, so I came back the next day and did this 3-hour broadcast, and just having people call in and share their moments and their memories. I've covered 3 royal tours so far, unfortunately not one with the Queen. It was Camilla and Charles, Wills and Kate, and Meghan and Harry, not the Queen herself, but just to hear people's first-hand experiences and encounters and words exchanged with her, I think was a really special moment, a moment in history.
You need to get Mel Chan Davies in. She's shaking the Queen's hand, and she said, I can remember is how soft her glove was and how lovely she smelled.
Oh,
there you go.
Interesting.
Yep. Yeah, for me, exactly the same story.
Yeah.
Okay, the best podcast you've listened to, not this one or your own, before we get started, because that's a no-brainer,
yeah.
That you've listened to this year and gone, wow, that's just awesome.
I'm giving my work hubby a shout out.
Of course you are, yeah.
Mr. Lovely Lloyd Burr, yeah. Lloyd Burr Live.
Yeah.
Love that man, and he did a great podcast called The Wilderness, which was basically a limited series. I think it was 6 episodes, and it was documenting and discussing Labour's change in leadership between Helen Clark all the way up to Jacinda Ardern. And it was just really great. He interviewed a whole bunch of politicians. I think there were some that he couldn't actually get on, former Labour leaders. I don't think he was able to get David Cunliffe on, but he had great commentary, really amazing insights into the political world and what it was like being in that party with, the revolving door of, of leaders. So I thought it was really well put together, and I'm really proud of him.
For me, it is one called Stealing Superman, and it's going on about the art theft of the Superman number one comic and the Detective Comics first issue with the Batman in it, stolen from Nicolas Cage's house in the 90s, and how they sort of mounted a case and were trying to find out about it. It's all super shady. There's lots of stuff going on in the background that you don't know about. Give it a listen, because it's just completely random.
Love shady.
And it just goes to show you how crazy the life of the upper echelon sort of A-listers, I suppose, is. Anyway, what's been the worst news story of 2022, do you think?
The war in Ukraine.
Yep.
Agreed. 100%.
Yep.
And it's just the story that keeps going.
Yep. Yeah.
And every day, something more hideous than the last comes out. And I'm really proud of our team. Tova went over there and interviewed Zelensky. She's the only New Zealand media to sit down with the Ukrainian president. And she did an amazing job. And for a small little station that just started in March, that's a moment. It's definitely the worst news story.
One thing that we weren't sorry to say goodbye to in 2022.
Lockdowns, COVID. Bye. I mean, I know that COVID is still here. But the lockdown system, the traffic light framework, we're learning to now live in a day and age where it exists, and we're learning to manage it without disrupting our daily. But yeah, definitely not sorry to say goodbye to lockdowns.
For me, exactly the same. One thing we were sad to say goodbye to.
All the time that we've missed out on because of lockdowns.
Yeah.
You know, I think I saw something, there was a meme or something the other day, and it was something about like when you realise that it's almost 3 years or 4 years since 2019, but 2019 really only feels like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's those years and that time. And I mean, I know that no matter how old you are, it still feels like a significant chunk of your life, but I'm just gutted that this happened in my early 30s.
There you go. Yep. You know? It's all good. If you could ask Santa for one thing this year for the world, what would it be?
There's a lot of issues that I could wish to end.
Yep.
I'm kind of torn between an end to the war and an end to climate change.
Yep, that's a tick on both for me. Yeah. So if you take one, I'll take the other one.
We've solved it.
Yeah. What's been your biggest fangirl moment of 2022?
Biggest fangirl moment? Gosh. What would be my biggest... You go first. I'm just going to let this...
I've got to say it was meeting Ant Middleton earlier on this year when he was here.
Oh, yeah.
Purely because I thought, oh, this would be very, very interesting. He was meeting somebody who had some different needs, who was having a moment of difficulty, and I was just amazed at his humility and the fact that he, one, not only helped this gentleman maintain his dignity with a whole bunch of people sort of watching, but then made light heart of it so that person felt good about themselves as well.
Mm.
To me, that's the mark of a fairly good human being. Somebody, he could have quite easily got somebody else to do it, but he didn't. He did it himself. And everybody was just, that was standing in that line, was just like, well, that's a pretty humble guy.
Mm. I think if I can kind of flip the definition of fangirl.
yeah.
And I think I have to say to all the people who were so willing to open up to me for the Corps and across radio. Now, I've spoken to a number of nurses and GPs who've been struck by the healthcare crisis, who were brave enough to share their story, even though there was a risk to their job and their title. You know, people who were victims, who I spoke to for my episode on street safety. You know, JJ Feeney's brother, Paul Anderson, who was caught in crossfire on Fort Street in Auckland, and he was shot and almost lost his life. And he, moment by moment, described to me the agonizing details of what happened to him and how lucky he is to be alive. And for that, that is a massive privilege to have someone to trust you with their story and with their experience. So I think I have to spread that across all of the amazing people who I've been able to interview this year.
Boom, there you go. What's been your biggest guilty pleasure in 2022?
Spam watching Love Island.
Oh, God. That hasn't changed since last year.
Did something. I say that
yeah,
last
yeah,
year?
Yeah, it was like, yeah, sort of watching Love Island. Yeah.
I just love it. It's mind numbing, but I spend day in, day out covering serious topics, and sometimes you just need something where you can just go blah.
Yep, I get it. And watch it. I do. For me, tragically, it's still the NHL ice hockey from Canada. So that is what it is. Resolutions. I know that sometimes you don't do them. Last year, yours was to smash the new job at Today FM.
Mm.
We'll give that a 9.5 out of 10 because nothing's the perfect
thing. There's 10. Always room for improvement.
Exactly, yeah. So 9.7 then. What is it for this year coming up?
Because we've now sort of decided to slightly change the way that we're doing the core, and it's into documentaries, video documentaries now, I think it's to really try and make an impact with those and spark change and give people a voice when they haven't been able to do that before. I want to just keep smashing these out and shaking things up and making headways with issues or, you know, people who have been trying to get attention. I just think that's probably it for me. Resolutions are hard.
Yeah. Just so people have got some idea, because I know that people look at stuff and go, oh, it's only like 25 minutes. That didn't... okay.
Mm.
How long does it take you to make one of those core video podcasts from research to final production?
Oh my goodness. Months.
Yep. Yeah.
And I mean, if I was dedicating 100% of my time to it and it was all condensed to, you know, day by day or yep. consecutively, it would probably be 4 or 5 weeks. But because I'm still juggling doing drive, I'm juggling filling in, hosting, it takes a bit longer. But there's research, then there's finding people, then there's not only finding them but convincing them to go on camera, mm-hmm. which can be a really scary prospect, mm-hmm. then it's actually going to do those interviews. A lot of them that aren't in Auckland, they're out, so you've got to fly out of Auckland. Then it's scripting, and these are 30 to 45 minute documentaries. It took me, I've just finished scripting the latest one, it took me a week last week to script the last one. Then there's the editing process, then you've got to cut trailers together. It's a beast, but it's so worth it.
That's all good
in the end.
What's the one thing that you're looking forward to the most in 2023?
I think just having the first year post-COVID where there isn't the threat of lingering lockdowns over us. Yep. And I know you can't say it's never going to happen again because we don't have a crystal ball, but it's the first year that we're going into where we're not looking at the daily case numbers going, oh my goodness, we're going to get a red light announcement, an orange light announcement. It's the first year that I think feels the most normal.
I fully agree with that. What's the one thing that you're not looking forward to the most about 2023? Mine's the election.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because...
Oh, see, I live for that stuff.
Yeah, I know you do, yeah. And, like, I will watch it and everything else, but I will get to the stage where I'm just like, okay, it's all getting a bit white noisy now, and it's just blah, 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 and, so it's like, okay, cool, no worries. So mine would be the election. Mm. What's yours, do you think?
I'm feeling pretty positive about next year.
There you go. To be honest. That's all good. That's a good thing.
I guess the thing I'm most not looking forward to is perhaps still uncertainty around potential COVID variants and all that type of stuff. You know, we're having this second wave at the moment of people getting secondary infections. But I don't know. You can't really look into a crystal ball. And
nope, that's all right.
At the moment, yeah.
100% true. What's one thing you want to do more of in 2023? For me, it's always exercise, which is great when you've got an aging body. things get a little bit tougher, but that's all good. What about you?
Things I want to do more of. I'd love to travel more.
Yep.
Well, definitely, because it's been a long time.
Yeah,
so I'd like to, if I could, try and sneak 2 trips in there, but it obviously is all down to annual leave and whether
Moolah
I'm
going to
have savings. Travel would be incredible, though. I feel like I've been FOMOing like everybody else.
All right. Album of the year, in your opinion.
Do you know what? I actually don't listen to albums, and it was funny. I was talking to Lloyd about this the other day, because have you seen the thing that Spotify's doing at the moment? Yep. Oh, I don't think it's Spotify, but it's connected to Spotify, where it's sort of would go Constable B Fest, and it basically gives you the lineup of all the things you've been listening to.
Yep.
And the thing that I do is I'm a big George FM listener. Obviously, second favourite station after Today FM, George FM colleagues.
I just
drive along and they put on electronic house bangers and I'm like, man, this song sounds good. So I'll Shazam it and then just add it to my playlist.
Boom.
So I think album, if I go for artists in terms of the artists that I probably listen to the most songs of, it's probably at the moment Becky Hill and Rufus Du Sol, who actually just played at Spark Arena last Friday. Again, I couldn't go because I had stitches in the back of my leg, and that's not conducive to raving. But Rufus Du Sol and Becky Hill.
There you go. Awesome. For me, too many to mention. I am an Apple Music man through and through, so I just
Apple
do that thing.
Apple Music, controversial.
Yeah.
No Spotify.
No.
Like my good friend Aziz Al-Safin.
Yeah, there you go.
He doesn't have Spotify. He only has Apple Music.
Good work, brother. I'm a big Apple Music fan, so I will do pretty much exactly what you do, listen to a song and go for it. But that kind of makes me sad because I used to work in the music industry before I joined the police. Yeah, I used to manage a retail store. And
please,
I kind of think
it was real groovy.
No, it wasn't. although I love going to real groovy. But one of the things that makes me sad is musicians work so hard on making an album, not a single.
Mm.
And I think just lots of times we're only getting sort of 5 minutes of flash. And sometimes there's lots of songs in there that maybe you don't like the first time, but then you listen to them 3 or 4 times and there's sort of changes. But anyway, there you go. The show or the concert of the year, if you went to any?
You know, I think I only went to one at the beginning of this year. It was Plain Sailing Festival and Shapeshifter played, which took me back to being 20 at New Year's. And you know what I would have said to you? had I not had the, and I know I've said it, had I not had these stitches in the back of my lip, I would have said Groove Armada.
There you go.
Was literally just on Saturday.
Nice.
I had to sell my ticket. I was devastated because I love Super Stylin'. But I lived vicariously through all my friends who still went, and they said it was fab.
Yeah, check out the Instagram pictures, Wills. They're awesome. Yeah. For me, it's got to be in at the tragic sort of risk of sounding like somebody likes Africa by Toto. Midnight Oil, when they came over, their last bunch of concerts, they were amazing, and clearly a band who had decided to pull the pin at exactly the right time. They finished touring now, but they were still amazing. And when you look at Peter Garrett and think that he used to be a senator in the Australian Parliament and he can still get up on stage and do what he did, he's pretty amazing.
Love that.
That and Hannah Gadsby, the Australian comedian / commentator, who you might have seen on The Net, the special on Netflix. You haven't seen The Net?
No.
You need to watch it. Very confronting. Awesome. And yeah, great to see that she can still tell some of the most outrageous stories with the typical Australian quirkinism. It's just brilliant. What's one thing you want to do less of in 2023?
I know I said I'm getting all my confidence back, but I still have moments of self-doubt, so I want to stop doubting myself in those moments of weakness.
Yeah, because when we did our podcast, you said that you suffer from anxiety sometimes, and I mentioned to you about Sean Hayes from Will and Grace being terrified. Yeah, so I mean, that's always going to be an ongoing battle, but hey, the dance offs with Lloyd Bird will probably solve that. To be honest, who's the one podcast guest you'd like to interview if you had the chance? Anybody from around the world. And I just sort of went, you know what, boom, you've got them for a half an hour sit down video core session. Who would you choose?
Really tough. There's quite a few people, isn't there?
Yep.
There's a lot of people. It'd be quite cool to interview Oprah Winfrey, wouldn't it? She spends her whole life interviewing others.
Can you see that raised eyebrow? Yeah. I gotta say, I find, like, I've heard some people went to her show and found it really life-changing.
Yeah.
And others said it was very much bubblegum philosophy, sort of.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm of the opinion whatever gets you through, whatever interests you, I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
For some people, it's Oprah Winfrey. For me, it's Ant Middleton. For others, it's David Goggins or whatever. So, yeah, I do think she'd be interesting, though, because from a business sense, she's clearly smashed it.
I think for me, it would be for selfish reasons in the sense that she's done amazingly in her career. She's kind of had a career trajectory that, you know, would be amazing to follow. Mm-hmm. She's a broadcaster. She's an interviewer. She's a businesswoman. I think it would be more selfishly picking her brain for advice podcast.
I've got this little podcast. What's been the biggest discovery of 2022 for you?
Biggest discovery that I'm more capable than I gave myself credit for.
I'd agree with that as well.
Yeah,
you are.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, definitely. I like, it's been interesting on the outside watching you flourish it today.
Oh, thank you.
Not just sort of up from the waist reading, if you know what I mean.
And there's moments, and I know everyone has this, there's the imposter syndrome is so real.
Yeah.
And you know, I've gone into this role now where my opinion matters, and I'm writing editorials about issues that I thought that I would never ever be qualified to write about, and I sit there writing these going, what?
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'll write them and go, you know what? That's a good editorial. Yeah, well done,
yeah.
Wells.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And,
and
it's like anything to do with an opinion piece. If you don't agree with it, then don't agree with it and move on.
Exactly. And it's been amazing to be able to have the platform to have an opinion because, you know, normally when you're reading news or whatever, you don't really have the opportunity to share that, and you're meant to be impartial and unbiased. And I just think that there's a lot more depth to the skills that I've accumulated over the years, and it's been awesome to finally be able to show what I'm made of.
Boom. What's the biggest issue facing New Zealand in 2023? Apart from the election?
Cost of living crisis.
Yeah.
The squeezed middle. everything is so expensive, petrol prices, food prices. You know, I'm interviewing people who weren't struggling 2 years ago and now they're barely just getting by, and it's only going to get worse. You know, the OCR's tipped to peak at 5% now. Interest rates could be upwards of 7.5%. There are people who are about to refix their mortgages. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
I would definitely agree with you there. We're now at the stage where people are going supermarket shopping. And you used to get it on the odd occasion, but now it's quite a common thing of they're buying their groceries, and when they buy their groceries, they actually will stop and say to people, can you put that aside because I can't afford to buy that. So if you are in line and you do have lots of money, do the nice thing and actually see if you want to pay for that person's groceries. Just saying. The biggest issue facing the world in 2023?
Also, economic crisis, but because I want to give something different as well, I think climate change.
Yep.
It's a very real threat. We just had COP27. It's, you know, there's a lot going on, and I think it is falling by the wayside because of all the discussion around the economy and COVID. And we need to bring it back to the fore. I mean, we've got to think about the time when we had the Australian bushfires, like all the Pakistani floods.
Yep.
There are these weather events that are on, you know, biblical proportions that we never had several years ago, and it's only going to get worse if we don't do something about it now for future generations.
Not wrong at all. For me, it's got to be that or the continuing war in the Ukraine, and I guess with the winter coming, those people getting cold, and there will be deaths. Tragic. What's been the best social media watch in 2022?
You mean like account?
Account or something that you've just discovered and you've gone, well, that's pretty amazing, or hey, that's out of the box. Nothing's really striking.
In terms of like a single account or anything, I can't think of it. I just love trolling through memes. Not trolling, because I'm not a troll.
Yeah.
But scrolling?
Yep.
Trolling. Yep. I've just combined the words scrolling.
Yep.
Through memes. I just love a good cat meme. Yep. My husband and I, like if you look at our chat history, it's literally just either photos of our cat or cat memes.
That cat rolls a really roast.
She really does. Yeah, she's an out-the-gate queen.
Yep, yeah.
Sassy
ass. Yeah, exactly, yep. And then there's the owner. And then,
Mike always jokes to me, he's like, just like her mum.
Hey, like. And for me, I think it's got to be the account that I, like, have enjoyed watching the most is been, again, Moana Pacifica's account, just purely because of, it's really nice to see a professional sports account where grown men are singing, grown men are crying because they've been given a position or they realise the importance or the honour of the team. So that's been a really humbling thing. I know, and don't get me wrong, we will always support the All Blacks because that's just who we are and what we are. But when was the last time you saw an All Black cry because they'd been given an All Black jersey? And there's a great story of a young lad called Miracle from Samoa who's just been picked for the Moana Pacifica team. It's his first contract ever, pretty much. And the best thing about that was, just to show you how cool Moana Pacifica's Instagram was, I basically said, welcome to the family, incredible story, blah, blah, blah. And his mum replied to me, she said, he's so lucky to have so many wonderful friends from Samoa, which is pretty cool. Yeah, so.
Awesome.
And on that happy note, wishing you all a Merry Christmas. We will see you in 2023.
I know, so that's kind of scary. Say 2023.
Yeah, but it will be there. So have a Merry Christmas. I'm sure Wilhelmina will, and you can go back and listen to the other podcasts. Enjoy her, just to prove to you, Wilhelmina, I do my research. Enjoy her bagels on Christmas morning. No doubt she will not get a chess set this year round. but I'm sure she'll spend some lovely time with her mother. So thank you again for being our guest.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure. It's always a pleasure.
And to all, thanks for listening. Merry Christmas to you all and stay safe.
Thanks for listening. But please do Constable Brian and I a favour and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on the next Coppuccino podcast. Real people, real stories.